see that button. Got a couple announcements this morning before we begin our class. It's time to sign up for the Secret Pal for this year's Christmas banquet. If you participated last year, there is a copy of your wish list and instructions in your church mailbox downstairs. If this will be your first year to participate, there are instructions on the box in the foyer. Please see Sue if you have any questions. She thanks you for that. And also a reminder that this coming Saturday is Coffee House. And it's going to run from about 6 to 8. You don't have to get up and exit right at 8. You're certainly free to sit and visit and everything while people are kind of just cleaning up and preparing for Sunday morning. Great time to invite people to Coffee House. It's such a relaxed atmosphere for people to sit down, get to know us and things like that. Kind of makes that choice when they come to church. It's a little easier if they know people. So again, that is this Saturday from 6 to 8. Okay, I want to do just before I do a review from last week, I had a couple of people ask me about clarification about paying tithe, especially the part about borrowing your tithe. So I'm going to start here before we do our review and go into class. So if you want to just take a minute and turn to Leviticus 27, I'm just going to do a quick thing that I hope helps to clarify everything. Leviticus 27, and we're going to be reading in verse 30 and 31. So in verse 30 of Leviticus 27, it says, and concerning the tithe, I got to get in the right spot. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. Okay. So when we read in verse 30, if you change, we know tithe means a tenth. And it's sometimes easier to understand this if you change that fraction to a percentage, okay? So we know a tenth is 10%. So all the tithe, 10%, okay? All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's holy unto the Lord. If a man will at all redeem aught of his tithe, take it back to himself, instead of paying what he owes to God, he's borrowing from God, and there's going to be a fee. So how much is that fee? He shall add thereunto the fifth part thereof. He will owe, if you change one-fifth to a percentage, everybody put your math caps on? 20%, right? So here's an example. If you gain $1,000, your 10% is $100. If for whatever reason you take that $100 back and use it somewhere else, okay, when you go to repay God that $100, now you owe him one-fifth of that $100 you borrowed. One-fifth is 20%. So now you owe him your original $100 tithe plus another $20. So you'd owe him $120. Does that clarify it for everybody? I know I had a couple people question it and stuff like that, so I wanted to make sure we're all clear. Makes sense, right? Much better to change that percentage to a fraction. Okay, super. I'm going to do a quick review of the lesson that Lynn worked on last week. We are in 2 Samuel, the 19th chapter. And she worked on question 6, which talked about the return of King David that is aided by the elders of Judah and Benjamin. And we talked about where these other tribes are at. And then Shimei comes seeking forgiveness, and we talked about why he chose to do that now. She laid out, too, that David actually waited for an invitation to come back to return to Jerusalem. And we know David has extended forgiveness, you know, ahead of the people by having Amasa be the general of that army and everything. And so he was wanting Judah, which is his direct family, to be the ones that began this process. And they really had that ability and the privilege to do that. They were his people, and Judah has always been a powerful tribe among the 10 tribes. And we see this is going to be some grumbling that's going to come forward for this, but they do meet King David at Jordan. And we also talked about how Shimei meets King David there, and he goes and asks David for forgiveness. And we realize that Shimei at that, it's kind of an interesting time. We talked about why we thought he came and did it now. But David forgives him. And actually, David forgave him at the time of the incident. We're going to kind of look back at that today. We talked about forgiveness and mercy are the attributes of God, and they should be our attributes also. Forgiveness is that reconciliation. It's a healing that shows grace and mercy. It's a deliberate, conscious act of love and mercy and grace that we choose to do. We choose not to hold something against someone despite what they have done. And she talked about how that if you choose not to do that, that bitterness can stay inside of you, and that bitterness, will it'll destroy you from the inside out. It really will. So she went into Ephesians, which gave us a good description of Shimei, and it talked about the importance of the need to forgive, and that if we don't forgive, we actually grieve God. And it's an important part. Shimei kind of had to get to that point in his life where he realized he needed to ask for this forgiveness. And David definitely David understood this in a different way, because he kind of felt like this whole situation, he bore some responsibility in. He knew that he had made wrong choices and that this was the consequences of action that was happening in his life. So he really had the ability to leave this incident in God's hands, which really took quite a bit of faith on David's part. But again, we have to, if we desire to be forgiven in our lives at different times, we have to be forgiving. We have to be forgiving. Lynn taught about always looking into that mirror. She used the scripture in Matthew where Peter asked Jesus, how many times am I supposed to forgive the brother that offends me? Seven times? And Jesus says, seven times 70, meaning there isn't a limit to it. It's as much as you is necessary. She also looked real carefully at the parable of the servant with the debt he couldn't pay, and he was so grateful that his Lord forgave him from the debt, but he turned around and demanded a debt to be paid to him by someone that owed him. It is so easy to forget what we have received. And if we just stop and think about the way we have been treated, things that have been done to us and given to us, it helps us to be more merciful. And again, that forgiveness is essential to our life here and, of course, to our life in eternity. As she also used scriptures in Mark in the 11th chapter, and that ability to forgive helps to maintain the unity of the body. And she talked so much about that golden rule, you know, that first one, to love God with everything we have. Got that one, hands down. I don't have any problems with that one. It's the second one he commands me to do that gives me trouble. You know, love one another the same way that I have loved you. That's a pretty high bar. That's a pretty high bar to set. But that really is the one that if you look and think about to be able, you can understand why Jesus said those two fulfill all the law. They fulfill all the law. That basic need for kindness in this world today is so important. And again, that is the individual walk that we choose to do with, how we deal with the situations that God allows to come in our life and what we want to do with them. If our desire is to walk closer to God, then we're going to take those steps that is necessary to walk closer to God. And she finished with Ephesians, the 4th chapter, about be ye kind-hearted to one another. And that's a wonderful verse of scripture. It was a good lesson last week. We talked about forgiveness using Shimei as that main point. And we're going to go into Shimei quite a bit today too, but anyone have anything they want to add on what Lynn taught last week? It's a good lesson. Okay, so let's begin 2 Samuel 19. We are in verses, let me get to my Bible here, 21 through 23. The question is, what do you think of the way King David handles this situation with Shimei? So in 2 Samuel 19, we're going to read verses 21 through 23. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this? Because he has cursed the Lord's anointed." And David said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel?" Excuse me. Verse 22 is particularly interesting to me, where David says, "You sons of Zeruiah." He seems to be including Joab. "You sons of Zeruiah." Joab's the other son. And it's interesting as we read in these scriptures and follow King David's life that these brothers are troublesome to David. Seems like all of David's life. David realizes here that he has the power as the king of Israel to sentence a man to death. He says, "Do not I know that I am this day king over Israel?" We see that David forgives without hesitation. Even when the offense occurred, David forgave Shimei. And just to review it, let's go back to 2 Samuel, the 16th chapter. Just to kind of review this, we kind of remember this. I'm just going to read verses 11 through 13. 2 Samuel 16, starting with verse 11. And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, and this is after, remember, Abishai, Shimei's already cursing and everything, and Abishai's, let me go kill this dog. Let me get after him. David said to Abishai and to all his servants, "Behold, my son, which came forth from my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look upon mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. Okay? So we see that David responds by doing nothing. He doesn't stop Shimei. He knows that God will handle this, and he's very merciful and he's very forgiving. So before I go any further, any thoughts about Paul? Do I have a mic runner? Oh, thank you, Nathan.
Going back up to verses 6 through 8, all of his complaints were valid, and David knew it, and God already talked to him about it, and his brother Joab, I mean, Shimei,
or whatever.
He knew what David did. And he knew the whole history.
Okay.
Because he was there, you know, and his brother's Joab, who actually told David a few things about it. And, he was saying that, you know, he was blaming David for taking Saul's kingdom and saying that because you did that, then the Lord gave it to your son, you know, as punishment, and then called him out on Bathsheba's husband's death, and so David couldn't really deny any of that, and the God already dealt with him on it and told him what was going to happen, so he had to leave it in God's hands.
And Shimei and Joab are not brothers. I don't know if you said that, but Abishai and Joab are brothers. Did you say Shimei and Joab were brothers? Or did I misunderstand that? I might have misunderstood that. I just wanted to clarify that. That's the way I heard it. But Shimei is, you know, the one thing about, I want to point out about Shimei is, anybody else before I get going? I know sometimes I don't stop. Marty?
Marty? I was just thinking, if you look through David's life from the time he was young and after he fought Goliath, and you move forward, David was always, what you would say, short-tempered, and wanted to take action and do what he thought at the time. We see the cutting of Saul's garment, and we see a very similar situation with Nabal, where Nabal basically disrespected David to his 10 men. And the only thing that stood between David and Nabal's death was Abigail. And so we see that all through his life, there was a reoccurring theme. And now we see that what he's learned has finally come to fruition, where he's allowing his natural to step aside and letting God come in. And I just think of the scripture that says God's ways are so far above our ways. We may think that we have righteousness, or we are going to do the right thing, or this is what should happen, but it's about allowing yourself sometimes suffer to be defrauded and let God fight your battles.
And I will remind you, David does not have the Holy Ghost. This man does not have the Holy Ghost. Kind of takes away our excuses. Anyone else? I want to point out the obvious here, that Shimei's behavior is way out of control. Way over the top. Yet David controls his behavior in the face of that out-of-control anger that is directed at him. And again, he didn't have the Holy Ghost. I can't say I wouldn't have felt like Abishai. Let me go take care of this dead dog or get somebody to do it. With the Holy Ghost, this is tough. Without the Holy Ghost? But Shimei is so out of control. David has no control over Shimei. He has none. The only control David has in this entire situation is himself. He can't hardly control anything else. He can't make Shimei stop cursing. He can't do anything. He cannot change anybody's behavior, only himself. And he's responsible to God on how he chooses to deal with it. I want to go into 1 Kings. In 1 Kings, the second chapter, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, and as we begin to look at these scriptures in 1 Kings, the second chapter, this is a time frame at the end of King David's life, and he's giving instructions to his son Solomon, who's going to succeed him to the throne, okay? So in 1 Kings here, second chapter, verses 1 through 3, at this time it is the end of David's life. He's passing on to his son instructions. So 1 Kings 2, starting in verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. Now in the next verses, he begins to lay out instructions. He tells them how to deal with Joab. He tells him how to do with Bazilia, and he's going to tell him how to deal with Shimei. So drop down and read verses 8 through 9. And I want you to listen really carefully to these verses. And behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, he's still there, a Benjamite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore, hold him not guiltless, which means totally clean. For thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. But his hoar head bring thou down to the grave with blood. Okay, how do you reconcile these scriptures? What is David saying? In 2 Samuel 19, where we read, David offers forgiveness. But here it sounds a little bit harsh. And I will tell you, when it says down to the grave, that word here is Hades or hell. So what are your thoughts on this? What's going on here? What are your thoughts? It's kind of opposite of how he's dealing with them over here. He's not ignoring a lot here. What do you think, Paul? Oh, I'm sorry, Paul Mattel. Thank you.
Yeah, the first part reminded me of when Jesus says, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Right. He knows how terrible it's going to be, right, looking on down to the future.
Right.
And so I think a lot of us had the same thought pattern with David. Mm-hmm. And God's laws are his laws. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't do it under his watch. Mm-hmm. He passed it on. He said, "I'm not going to kill you." So he didn't, but he passed it on to his son. Mm-hmm. That, hey, this is what the law reads, and mm-hmm. you need to obey it.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Oh, back there, Sherry Kay.
As you read the story of this Shimei, we realize that there was a consequence attached to this. David didn't just forgive him, but God also had some, consequences that you pay for whatever you do. Mm-hmm. And therefore, there was that attached to this, which meant he had to stay where he was, mm-hmm. which he chose to ignore. Mm-hmm. So I think David, some way through God, knew that this man was what he was, mm-hmm. was going to do what he wanted to do, when he wanted to do it, how he wanted to do it, mm-hmm. and therefore left instructions not only for Solomon to do this last that we just read, but to execute God's judgments mm-hmm. and everything else that he had laid down.
Mm-hmm. If In verse 8, David made a promise to Shimei that he would not kill him for a crime that he committed, which warranted death, remember? Because he threatened David both verbally and physically. In verse 9, he says, "Hold him not guiltless, totally clean." But he says to Solomon, "You are a wise man, and you knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him." He tells Shimei, remember in verse 8, Shimei is still with him. He's still in the picture. He's a Benjamite. Remember, Saul was a Benjamite. I get going down my nose too quick. So what he's telling Solomon at this point is, be watchful of Shimei. And if and when it may be necessary for Solomon to make a judgment concerning Shimei because of the actions he may take, Solomon will act in wisdom and knowledge of God. He's giving him a heads up about, watch this man, watch him. So David made a promise to spare Shimei's life because of what he did to King David at that time. David's promise to Shimei is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. That doesn't mean Shimei gets to behave any way he wants and he's never going to be put to death. That's not what it is. That's not what it is. He says it doesn't give Shimei the right to behave the way he chooses for his lifetime, that he can ignore everything and behave any way he wants, because David said he's going to spare my life. I get a get out of jail for free card. We know that doesn't work. And David is saying to Solomon, you better watch this man. He was from the tribe of Benjamin, like Saul was. He was a supporter of King Saul. That's why he went against him back there and raged on him. And he did. He raged on him. But King David is now at the end of his life, okay? So we know there's a new king going to come into us that God is going to anoint. And there's probably going to be some problems again from those that support Saul, and Shimei may very well be one of these men that makes some problems. So he's warning his son Solomon, you need to be aware. Watch this guy. Use the wisdom and the knowledge God gives you when you'll have to make those tough decisions. The time frame it's been about 9 years between the rebellion of Absalom and David at this point here nearing his death. So David, in those 9 years that he's watched Shimei, what has he seen in Shimei's behaviors that he felt it was necessary to warn his son about this man on his deathbed? He had to have seen behaviors from Shimei in those 9 years that said, boy, you said you were, you know, I forgave you for what you did, but boy, there's some things I don't agree with in your life. David is giving him a heads up. Any thoughts on this? Hap?
It brings a thought to my mind, saying I heard, you've got the right to make your free choice, but you don't have the right to be free of the consequence of
that
choice.
That's right. Very good. Marty, over here. Why, before Marty speaks too. So in order to get forgiveness, you have to repent. But in order to repent, there has to be a desire to change. What did David see in Shimei? Marty?
It's actually where I was going. but I just see a similar thing in the New Testament and 2 Timothy, where Paul says, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. Mm-hmm. So we see, again, a very similar situation, you know, 1,000 years later, where you're warning your brother. But just to summarize, I was thinking the same thing as it's our obligation, our duty to forgive each other. Mm-hmm. But forgiveness from God only comes if we follow his rules and his ways. And that is a godly repentance and a godly sorrow. And then, as the Bible says, putting our gift on the altar until we have done what he said and made it right. We can't just receive forgiveness from the individual and think that we're clean and guiltless.
Back to Sherry Kay. Repentance, again, is changing. It's turning around. If you're asking for forgiveness, you're repenting of something, and that change should show.
That was kind of my point, is that you can't keep doing the same thing over and over and expect that you can just, say I'm sorry or whatever, and no consequences and no payment for the actions. Exactly. You have to be willing to change the behavior.
Shimei did repent, okay? He repented, as we looked at in Samuel. And now he needs to move forward uprightly before God. Forgiveness and mercy are freely given, but they come with an expectation of change, a rebuilding of trust. Change that is seen through behavior and actions, not just words. Not just words. And here David felt very strongly, what did he see in Shimei that he felt on his deathbed? He had to warn Solomon about this man. He saw something in Shimei's life. He saw behaviors and actions that he felt necessary to warn his son. When we talk about forgiveness, we're talking about two sides of one coin. The one side is asking for forgiveness, and the other side is giving forgiveness. Different emotions on both sides of that coin, and different work is required from both sides. In this account of Shimei and King David, Shimei is in the wrong. He goes and he asks forgiveness, and King David offers that forgiveness with no strings attached, okay? When he came to him and was asking forgiveness, David didn't say, I'll forgive you when you get your act together. I'll forgive you when I feel like you've made it right with me. Or, it's about time you came to me. There's no strings attached to this forgiveness. There is no strings attached. Also, there's a time frame here. When Shimei came and did this, came against David in raging and cursing, it's months. That's when he first flees Jerusalem to go to Mahanaim. The war takes place. Everything happens like that. Now he's wanting to come back. This is months. David let it go. David let it go at the point of the offense. David let it go at the point of the offense. David forgives and offers a fresh start to Shimei when he comes to him because he sees Shimei is asking for forgiveness. And David goes now with the assumption stuff like this isn't going to happen again. Okay? We're changing direction here. But it requires a lot of work. It's being willing to let go of what you cannot control. David had no control of Shimei's behavior, but he did have control on how he chose to let it affect him. David could have run that loop around and around in his brain about Shimei throwing them stones and cursing. And Shimei just doesn't do it for a little bit. He follows them. Okay? And he could have let that loop keep going, and he could have just kept getting more angry all the way. He just could have. Guilty. I've done it. I've repeated situations in my brain so many times. But David chose to let it go. He gave it to God. That is not easy. It's so easy to stand here and say it, but it took prayer and a conscious effort to bring his mind into captivity under the control of God, not his own nature. Shimei, having asked and received forgiveness, now must rebuild the trust that he broke. And Shimei's the only one that can do that. Forgiveness is the first step in the healing process. It allows a fresh start. Both men move forward. Forgiveness benefits both sides. Both men are better. But David didn't wait on Shimei. He forgave and moved forward before Shimei even asked for forgiveness. David didn't wait. He moved forward. We understand that forgiveness is the highest form of love. It's the core value of our Christian faith. It is the core value of our Christian faith. When Kirsten taught, and she said, truth plus love equals mercy. I thought about that so much, and Mike and I talked about that so much, and how true and powerful those words are. And when we pick apart this account of Shimei and King David, we see truth plus love equals mercy. Shimei had to first be truthful with himself and admit he was wrong. His actions were wrong, and the thoughts behind his actions were wrong. He was a supporter of King Saul, and he didn't like that God was making changes. It was God setting up King David. And when Shimei, like the prodigal son, came to himself and knew he was wrong, the only right decision was repentance and asking forgiveness. He had to be truthful with himself, very humbling. Again, the amount of time that has passed from this time, it's about time Shimei asked for forgiveness. It took that whole time. We talked about it being months. Also, David forgave Shimei, like I said, at the time of the offense, because what did he do? He said, let him alone. Let God be in control of this. He gave it to God. He said, let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction and that the Lord will requite or repay me good for his cursing this day. Again, nothing that David can do to change Shimei or the way Shimei thinks. So he responds by ignoring him, allowing God to fight his battle. That is being forgiving. It's the best way to handle it. It's the only way to handle it. David does not make this situation worse. And that takes a lot of love. He doesn't make this situation worse. He doesn't. He doesn't keep running the loop around in his head. He doesn't sit with Joab and Abishai at the end of the day and talk about this guy. He ain't running it around in his head. He's made a choice. I'm going to give it to God, and I'm not going to make it worse. And if we think about that, to choose to not make a situation worse, There are so many things in our life that can be so difficult to figure out. But while we're in that figuring out process, we don't have to make things worse. We can hold our peace, and we can really, really let God fight our battle. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. Matthew 6, 33 and 34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Isn't that the truth? And when Shimei came against David, David said, you know what? I got enough problems. This guy is way out of line. He's wrong. I have the right to do this, but I got bigger fish to fry over here. This is God's battle. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, and isn't that the truth? We got enough stuff going in our life. Pick and choose the battles you want to run around in your brain. Keep your focus where your focus needs to be, on God and his righteousness. David did not hold any anger or bitterness about this, even though he was the one who was wronged, and he had a right to be angry. He was even in a position to administer judgment and consequences, and he didn't. He held no bitterness toward Shimei. He left it in God's hands. We know that David was a praying man. We see that all through the Psalms. That's the only way he could deal with that. That's a powerful lesson for each one of us. There is a saying about bitterness. Holding on to bitterness is like you drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Holding on to bitterness is like you drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Any thoughts or comments before we go on a little bit? Dennis?
I would simply call it killing him with kindness.
Very good. Killing him with kindness. Very good. Not easy to do. Not easy to do at all. Back there to Sherry Kay.
I think also when you look at David's life and what we've heard and learned of him up till now, you know, you really realize that nobody's perfect.
Boy, amen.
That we all make errors, we all do things that, and I think David probably could see that as he was looking at Shimei, is that, what have I done to create maybe part of this situation?
That's right. Always looking in a mirror. Even a king has troubles. Always looking in a mirror. Marty?
I just noticed in both David's example that you read in 2 Kings and in the example of Paul with Alexander the coppersmith, you know, our obligation is forgiveness, but we're also not to be naive. The Bible speaks 22 times about a watchman, and that when we're aware of evil or something that could cause harm, then we're also obligated to make that aware as well, that we wouldn't let our brothers and sisters fall into a snare.
And isn't that just what David is doing right here? He's being a watchman. Paul Matil up here, he's being a watchman. No, being forgiving is not being naive. Being forgiving is extending love. Expectation of behavior and change on the person who's been forgiven.
Yeah, I was just thinking about God's word when it says he doesn't want anybody to perish. And when you forgive somebody, it's not, you want them to make it.
Yes, amen.
I mean, that's what this is all about. We want everybody that we meet to make it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't watch, When you see a change in somebody because of the way you've interacted with them, that's a blessing in itself.
Amen.
You just know, man, they're getting it. They're gonna make it. You know, mm-hmm. That's where the bottom line is on all
that's
this
right.
stuff. Is that we gotta make it, and that's we gotta right. do all we can do for each other so we can make it.
Forgiveness is a powerful tool for maintaining unity in the body, and it's a difficult one. Right next to that humbleness, man, they're tough ones to get a hold of. They're tough. Claudette, we are going to go into the Old Testament in chapter 50. I'll let you turn there while Claudette has her comment.
Well, it's kind of like what Paul was saying, but I remember my mom would always say, you catch more flies with honey than you
That's
do
right.
with vinegar. And so, you know, the way you deal with somebody, you know, you could really make or break them.
You can make or break them. You very much can make or break them, very much. I want to look into the Old Testament about Joseph a little bit as an example of looking at forgiveness. Just to kind of lay a background, Joseph is one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel by God. From Jacob or Israel come the 12 tribes that began the nation of Israel. Joseph's mother was Rachel. She was the favored wife. Joseph was born very late in Jacob's life, and he was called a son of his old age, and Jacob loved his son Joseph more than his other sons, so much so that the other 10 older brothers hated him. He had a younger brother, Benjamin, who liked him. Okay, and we know the story because the older brothers hated Joseph, and they were jealous of him. They sold him into slavery. He lived in the house of Potiphar, an Egyptian, as his servant. Over a period of years, great hardships and imprisonment comes into Joseph, but through all of this, he grows into a position of power in the land of Egypt. A great famine takes over the land, okay? So through God, Joseph is able to help prepare the land of Egypt to go through this famine. Because of this famine, Joseph's brothers, who sold him into slavery, have to travel to Egypt to get food, not knowing that Joseph is alive after all these years, and they realize Joseph is the one who holds the power to give them food. That is Liz Clifford's condensed version of Joseph's life. It goes very fast, but I do want people to know who we're talking about. So in Genesis, the 50th chapter, I want to read verses 14 through 21. Genesis 50, 14 through 21. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. Jacob is dead. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they did. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph. The brothers are sending word ahead to Joseph. Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Joseph wept. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it on to good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now, therefore, fear you not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Truth and love equals mercy. Joseph's brothers bring an honest and truthful about their behavior and ask forgiveness. Joseph responds with the truth and love and mercy and forgives. I like when he says, You thought evil against me, but God meant it on to good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Joseph understood that everything he went through was for a purpose in God, especially the tough stuff. It's the tough stuff that we learn. It's the tough teachers in school that you look back on that taught you much. Sherry Larson back there, please. Joseph let go of all of those years of mistreatment. He said, I will take care of you, and I'm going to nourish your little ones, and I'm going to comfort you. Years. Sherry?
Well, I was just thinking about something my mom would say, and one of them was, she was talking about a particular situation, but she said, you can give up on that person, but I will never give up on them. And yeah. She would always say, where there's a breath of life, there's always hope for anyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our mom had some pretty good principles.
Yes, she did.
That she taught us, and mm-hmm. I loved those things that she would say to us.
I know. It is the tough things that we grow through. It's not the easy things. It's the tough things. Because the tough things require us to look inside of ourselves and see what we can change to make better. Joseph left all those years of mistreatment in God's hands. And he allowed God to teach and to train him, even when he didn't understand it and even when he didn't like it. He found himself imprisoned for things he was not guilty of. He's got one of those lives like it's like, really? Again? Again, I got to go through this, God? Really? Years. But even as he was in prison, every step Joseph took, he chose to learn. He did not get bitter. He was in prison for stuff he was not guilty of. Shouldn't God not allow that? That's a horrible injustice. God allows me to go to prison for something I didn't do? What is the problem here? Would that totally rock your foundation? Knock you off a little bit? It would mine. But he knew that it was God that was in control. He did not get bitter, even when he was knocked down and in prison for something he never did. He somehow found the strength in God to get up and move forward. He did not get bitter. He was forgiving. He was able to continue to grow and move forward in God. And he didn't have the Holy Ghost. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. Kind of takes away your excuses, doesn't it? Takes away our excuses. If Joseph would not have been able to forgive, he would have never moved forward in God. He would have never been the man he was. He'd have been stuck right back there in that bitterness and all that ugliness if he had never forgiven and continued to forgive as difficult things came in his life. He would have never moved forward in God to be the man he was. Wouldn't have done it. Any thoughts or comments? Pat?
Kind of brought to my remembrance, too, about, there's been a lot of people come through these doors here, and whatever reason they left and went to wherever they're at, God spoke to us through tongues and interpretation saying, don't forget them.
Amen.
Pray for them. Only
Amen.
God closes a door.
That's right.
And to keep them in your prayers.
Amen. It is only God who closes a door. It is only God. I think it's so important to keep in mind Kirsten's words, truth plus love equals mercy. And when we find ourselves on either side of that two-sided coin, whether needing forgiveness or giving forgiveness, Use truth. Use God's truth to measure yourself in that situation. Use truth to measure yourself, not the other person. Use truth to measure yourself and the situation. Use his love to guide your response. Use his love to guide your response. And give mercy as each one of us has received mercy. Free. No strings. No strings. Give mercy as we have received it. Free. No strings. But with an expectation to heal, which means change and grow to be more like him. It's the only way we can handle it. Forgiveness is the core part of this walk in God. It's core value to love. And if we can't have it, we don't move forward in unity as a body. You can see through these scriptures how important forgiveness, God's type of forgiveness, is, that it helps to build the unity in this church and maintain the unity in this church. Walking in unity does not mean we will never have conflicts. Walking in unity means we have the power and the tools to deal with those conflicts and maintain the unity. Walking in unity doesn't mean no conflicts. Not going to happen with people. But walking in unity, truth plus love equals mercy. The unity can and will prevail. Any other thoughts or comments before we close? We're a little bit over today. Again, thank you so much for your participation, and join us downstairs if you can for a cup of coffee.